B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Beitza Daf Gimel. We're going to start approximately in the middle of the Omud, the last word of the line, V'af Rabbi Yochanan. And we saw in the previous Daf on Daf Beis that the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph had said that a Beitza she'noilda b'yomtev, an egg that was laid on Yomtev, b'shamay oimrim toichel, you're allowed to eat it, b'shilil oimrim roiseichel, b'shilil say that you're not allowed to eat it on Yomtev. And the Gemara wanted to understand what's going on. And the Gemara gave four different explanations. We had Rav Nachman that said it's talking about a hen that was muktza. It was designated to lay eggs, not to be eaten. So the hen is muktza and the eggs are muktza. The eggs are a little bit more muktza, so to speak, because they're noilad. They're something that wasn't even around. They didn't even exist yet when Yom Tov came in. And therefore, it's an even more severe type of muktza. B'shamay say that there's no such thing as muktza. There's no issa muktza. There's no issa noilad. And therefore, you aren't allowed to eat it. And B'shilal say that there is an issa muktza and there is an issa of noilad. And therefore, they are muktza. B'shamay say they're not muktza, B'shilal say they're muktza. That was how Rav Nachman understood it. The Rabbah, Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchok, they understand that the hen was not muktza. It was a hen that was designated to be eaten. And however, there's still a machlokes. So B'shamay say, you can eat it. The hen is not muktza. Anything that comes from something edible, which is not muktza, I mean something edible, is considered just a break-off of that food item, and therefore is not muktza. And therefore you can eat it, that's B'shamay. B'shilal, however, say you're not allowed to eat this egg. The Rabbah says it's talking about exclusively, and the Gemara discussed it more in detail, but the Mishnah is talking primarily, according to Rabbah, that it's a Yom Tov after Shabbos, and there's Hachonah de Rabbah, that since an egg that was laid on Yom Tov was completed the day before it was laid, the day before was Shabbos, and there's Gzeres HaKosov, according to Rabbah, that a Yom Tov meal has to be prepared either on the Yom Tov or on a weekday, not on a Shabbos. Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchok said that this egg that was separated from the hen is either compared to fruits that came off a tree or to liquids that oozed out of a fruit, and there's a Gzeira Rabbanon that says it's Osir, and therefore this egg is also Osir on Yom Tov. That's in a nutshell what we saw on Daf Beis. Says the Gemara, V'af Rabbi Yochanan also Sovar Gzeira Mishum Mashkin Shezovu, holds like Rabbi Yitzchok said in the previous Gemara, that the reason that the egg is not allowed to be eaten on Yom Tov is because it's similar to liquids that ooze out of a fruit, in the same way as the liquids were balua, they were, so to speak, absorbed and inside the hen, inside the fruit, so too the egg was inside the hen. And therefore, when the Chachomim said that mashkin shezovu, liquids that ooze out of a fruit on Yom Tov, are not allowed to be eaten on Yom Tov, then they had in mind also an egg that came out of a hen. That was the Gemara we saw before. Where do we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds this way? Rabbi Yochanan asked a question, a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. The fact that he saw the two statements as being a contradiction must have meant that he understood that they were on a similar topic, and that they were based on the similar guidelines. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a contradiction. And Rabbi Yochanan then answered it. And the exact answer is not really as relevant as the question. And from the question, we see that Rabbi Yochanan understood that when an egg that's laid on Yom Tov is in the same bracket as liquids that ooze out of a fruit, and therefore we would expect the halachas to be the same. And obviously, there was a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda that he discussed these two things. He discussed, on the one hand, liquids oozing out of a fruit, and on the other hand, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, and they seem not to be going hand in hand. And Rabbi Yochanan asked as a contradiction. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan understood that Beitza Shenoildo is also on Yom Tov because it's in the same gezeira as Mashkin Shezovu. Let's see this inside. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. Eim Seichatin es apeiris lahoitzi mehen mashkin. Tanakama say you're not allowed to squeeze fruits in order to to squeeze out the liquids. But if they came out, if the juices, they came out on their own, then asurim, the zigzera, in order that you shouldn't by mistake come to squeeze the fruits, they said that the day that the liquids came out, on that day, you're not allowed to drink these liquids. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says that im le'oichlin hayotze mehen mutar. If the object of these fruits, if the reason these fruits are being stored away is in order to be eaten, not in order to be squeezed, then actually we don't want the juices to be squeezed out. It's not what we want. We actually really don't want it to be. It's lo nichale, says Rashi. If so, there's no gezeira. We're not worried you're going to squeeze these fruits because you really don't want the juices out. And therefore, it's mutar. V'im lemashkin, if however the fruits were designated to be used for mashkin, to be squeezed for juices, then hayotzemem also, then if the juices ooze out of it, then it's osur, because we're afraid that you may come to squeeze it. Alma, from the fact that we said, the fact that the Mishnah said, that Rabbi Yehuda said that anything which is a food item that is not made to be squeezed, then there's no issa of mashkin sheyotzim, of mashkin shezovu, because he says it's only im le'oichlin hayotzim en mutar. So what do we see from here? That kol oichlin, that any food item where it's not designated to be squeezed, l'Rabbi Yehuda uchlod ofrasu, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything that comes out of it is just like a piece of the food which is not mukta, and there's no issue whatsoever of eating it on Yom Tov, of eating it on the day or drinking it on the day that it was taken out. And therefore, we're going to assume kol oichlin includes an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. There should be no issue whatsoever of eating the egg on Yom Tov. That's going to be what we assume, because we know that Rabbi Yochanan understood, and we're about to see that clearly, Rabbi Yochanan understood the reason that an egg which is laid on Yom Tov is osur, is because of a gzeira mishum mashkin shezovu. And therefore, if we see here that kol lo'oichlin, that there's no issue, that it includes an egg which is oichlin, the hen is an oichel, it's not made to be squeezed out, and therefore the egg should be mutter. Voidom Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, is another statement from Rabbi Yehuda that says, Masne odom al kalkolo shel peiris. If on a Rosh Hashanah, where Rosh Hashanah, there's always 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Yehuda assumes that it's not considered as one long day, it's considered as two separate days. There's first day Rosh Hashanah, second day Rosh Hashanah. We practice 2 days Rosh Hashanah because we don't know which day is the real Rosh Hashanah. But in actual fact, only one of the 2 days is really Rosh Hashanah, the other one is a regular weekday. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. And therefore, there's ramifications to this by an Eruv. We know that, we learned this in Eruvin, if somebody wants to go outside the Tchum, he can make an Eruv. But you cannot have two Eruvs in the same Shabbos, because an Eruv, so to speak, is representing where you are when Shabbos comes in, or when Yom Tov comes in. So if you have an Eruv in the Mizrach and Eruv in the Ma'ariv, they cannot both be valid. But a person can say, I'm having one Eruv for first day Rosh Hashanah, and an Eruv on the other side for second day Rosh Hashanah, and they're not a contradiction. Because only one of those 2 days are really Yom Tov. So if the first day is Yom Tov, the second day is a weekday. If the first day is a weekday, the second day is a Yom Tov, and therefore there's no problem with having an Eruv on two separate sides. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. It's considered Shtei Kedushos. Were we to say that the 2 days Rosh Hashanah is like one long day, you'd not be able to have two Eruvs, because the onset of the first day is the onset of the 2 days, and you cannot have an Eruv on two different sides. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, it's not considered as one long day. And Rabbi Yehuda says that if you've got a basket of fruits and you forgot to take Trumas and Maestras from it, you're not allowed to take Trumas and Maestras on Yom Tov, what can you do? So on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you can make a condition as follows. You can point out to certain fruits and say like this: if today is Rosh Hashanah, then what I'm about to say now is invalid, because on Rosh Hashanah you can't take Trumas and Maestras. But if today is Rosh Hashanah, then I want these fruits to be Maeser tomorrow. And if tomorrow is the real Rosh Hashanah, then I want these fruits to be Maeser today. So whichever way you hold it, you're only taking Maeser on the weekday, not on the Yom Tov day. on the first day you can't take eat from these fruits because maybe it's Yontov, and if it's Yontov, you can't take Trumas and Maestros, it's not yet valid. But tomorrow, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, whichever way you hold it, you're allowed to eat from those fruits. Because if the first day was Rosh Hashanah, then now on the second day is really a weekday. Just we don't know. So we have to act as if it's Rosh Hashanah, but really it's a weekday. The Trumas and Maestros are valid. And if yesterday was the weekday, then the Trumas and Maestros I took yesterday are valid. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Masne odom al kalkolo shel peiros, a person can make a condition with a basket of fruits, beyom tov rishon. You can make this condition on the first day of Yom Tov, v'oichlo b'shenyan, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, you can eat the fruits. V'chein, says Rabbi Yehuda, beitzo shenoil do b'rishon. When an egg was laid on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat the egg, but only on the day it was laid. So if it was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's mut on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. V'chein beitzo shenoil do b'rishon. Since Rabbi Yehuda holds that there are two independent days, it's not considered one long day. If an egg was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to eat it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Because either way, if the first day of Rosh Hashanah was Yom Tov, the second day is Chol. If the first day was Chol, the second day is Yom Tov. And either way, you can eat the egg on the second day. Teichel b'sheni. B'sheni in, b'rishen lo. So what do we see from there? That when the egg was laid, when it was laid on the first day of Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat the egg. You're only allowed to eat it the next day. So here we have a contradiction. Rabbi Yochanan asked the contradiction. Why do you say that you're allowed to eat the egg if the egg was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to eat the egg on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Did Rabbi Yehuda not say a few lines earlier that anything which is not made to squeeze out the fruit, the juices from it, im la'oichlin hayotze mehen mutar? So from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan asked that question, you see that he understood that the reason that Beitza Shenolda would be Aser is because of Gzeirah of Mashkin. And therefore, since the Gzeirah of Mashkin doesn't apply to this hen, therefore Rabbi Yochanan asked a contradiction. So why can you not eat the egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Umashani Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan answered the contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda, Mukhlefes Hashita. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it was Yotzu Me'atzmon, it's also to drink it in the first case, where it's talking about the juices that came out. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if it came out of an oichel, something that you were not going to squeeze, nonetheless, it's also. He changes around the two opinions. What we thought was the Tanakam is really Rabbi Yehuda. And then it coincides that indeed, when the egg is laid on Yom Tov, then it's called mashkin sheyotzim on their own, and it's also to drink the juices, and also to eat this laid egg. So you see clearly, midukom rami luhu adodi. Since Rabbi Yochanan asks the contradiction between these two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, then shmamino, we see that chat taimhu, that is the same reasoning, that if you say that mashkin ayotzim is asa on that day, then they'll also say that a laid egg is asa. So you see that the status, the halacha of the laid egg is to do with this gezeira of mashkin shezovu. And once the Gemara's mentioned this seeming contradiction in what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, well, the Gemara's going to bring another two explanations how we could answer the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina Omar, Ravina says a different answer to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, La'olam lo teifuch, you don't need to turn it round. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that mashkin, any liquids that ooze out of any solid, which is not the intentions of squeezing it, is there's no problem with it. There's no gezeiras mashkin. You're going to ask me a question, if so, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that an egg that's laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, why are you not allowed to eat it? The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda l'divreim d'rabbonon ko'amalu. According to Rabbi Yehuda l'didi, afilu b'rishay nami sharia. I, Rabbi Yehuda, hold there's no issue with an egg that's laid on the first day of Yom Tov, because I hold that beitza shenol de Yom Tov is mutter, like the mashkin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the mashkin shezovu me'elem, if it's coming from a fruit which is not, or coming from any source that's not made and designated to be squeezed, there's no problem with it. And therefore it's muta. De'uchlo de'ofrasu, because since it's coming from a food, kol de'uchlo, it's coming from a food item, and therefore whatever's in it and coming from it is just considered as part of the fruit, and therefore there's no problem with it. Elo le'ditchu, Rabbi Yehuda is responding to the Chachomim, you Chachomim who say that there is a problem with it, you Chachomim who say that beitzo shenol d'byom tov is osur, because you hold that anything that comes out, any mashkin, that come out of a of any food item is mukta, is not allowed to be not mukta, is not allowed to be eaten. So oidu limios, at least agree with me, de besheini shario, that it's only osa on the first day, it's not osa on the second day. At least that much agree with me. The shtei kedusha is him, because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not considered a single long day, and then beitzo shenolda b'yom tov rishon shel Rosh Hashanah, it's as if the 2 days are one day, and it remains also till the end of the second day. At least agree with me that it's not true that, and that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, one of them kodesh, one of them chol, and therefore an egg that was laid on the first day is mut on the second day. V'omru le Rabbanon, the Rabbanon responded to that, Loi, we don't agree with you. Kedusha achasi, we say that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are really one long day. And therefore, when it comes to Eruv, you cannot make an Eruv on two separate sides for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And when it comes to an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we say it's Osa, even on the second day, because it's considered as if it's one long day. That was Ravina's explanation, so there shouldn't be a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina braids Rav Ula Omar, a third explanation. Hocha, but this second brisa, where Rabbi Yehuda says that an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is osur on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is betaunegoyles or imedes legadol beitzim. We're not talking about a type of a hen which is not mukta, and therefore the egg is not mukta, and the whole issue was only because Gzeiras Mashkin, as we saw before. No, Ravina, Bereder of Ula, says that Rabbi Yehuda there is talking about a type of a hen which was Mukta. Rabbi Yehuda Letamed is Le Mukta. Rabbi Yehuda is the person who holds that of Mukta. And therefore, since the hen is Mukta, the egg is also going to be Mukta. And therefore, you're not allowed to eat the egg on the first day of Yom Tov. And now the Gemara is going back to the reasons we saw on Daf Beis as to why Bais Hillel, this Machlok is Bais Hillel and Bais Shammai, but why did Bais Hillel in the Mishnah say that Beitzo Shenolda B'Yom Tov is, you're not allowed to eat it on Yom Tov? Lo Yisoichel, and they say we're talking about a hen which in and of itself is not Mukta. It was a hen that was designated to be used as food on Yom Tov. Rabba said, there was an Issa Deiraisa. A Yom Tov meal has to be prepared on a weekday. And the Mishnah is talking about a Yom Tov that was after Shabbos, Yom Tov that was on a Sunday. An egg that's laid on Sunday was prepared on Shabbos inside the hen. And therefore, you're not allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchok said there was a Gzeira that the egg coming from the hen is compared either to fruits that were fell off a tree or from liquids that oozed out of a fruit. Meisvei. We're going to see now in a Brisa, and this Brisa is split into four parts. We have to stay focused because the Gemara is going to move between them. Echod Beitzo Shenol Dobi Shabbos. That's part number one. Part number two, the Echod Beitzo Shenol Dobi Yom Tov, Ein Metaltelin Oysa. Loi Lechase is Bo Esakli, Loi Lismoich Bo Kari Amito. An egg that was born, that was laid on Shabbos or Yom Tov, is completely mukta. Not only are you not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to touch it, it's mukta, you can't use it to cover a little vessel with it, utensil with it, you can't use it to lean some beams of a bed on this egg. Eggs, when they're positioned in the right way, can carry quite a substantial weight. It's completely mukta, and these eggs are not allowed to be used on Shabbos when they were laid on Shabbos, or on mukta or on Yom Tov when they were laid on Yom Tov. That's the first part of the Braisa, and we're not going to discuss that much. But now the next two parts of the Braisa, that's going to be the challenge. So, Aval Koifa Oleos Akli, Sorry, this is still a continuation of the first part, that even though the egg in and of itself is mukta, one is allowed to turn a utensil upside down over the egg, b'shvil shelo tishabir, to protect it from getting broken. And there is an element of chiddush on this, because we saw in Shabbos Daf Mem Gimel that Rabbi Yitzchok in the Gemara says you're not allowed to move a utensil for the sake of serving something which is mukta. Here you're moving the utensil to put it upside down on an egg which is mukta, so this would not follow Rabbi Yitzchok. So now comes the challenging part of the Braisa. Usfeika Asura. If you don't know whether this egg was laid on Yom Tov or not, or on Shabbos or not, if you have a doubt, the egg is Osa. You have to assume, or at least you have to be cautious for the fact that it could have been born or could have been laid on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's one halacha we have to understand. Safik by this egg is Osa. Another halacha, v'im nis'arvo be'elef, if this egg, which is either an egg which was noel d'biyom tov or safik noel d'biyom tov, then got mixed into another 1,000 eggs, and normally we have a rule of bittel. Nonetheless, kulon asuros, bittel means that they get nullified. Different isurim and different halachas of when and how bittel works. Where sometimes it's roiv, sometimes it's shishim, sometimes it's 100, it's 200. There's many different halachas. But here it says that even if this egg is mixed in with another 1,000 eggs, which are definitely okay and not mukta, nonetheless, kulon asurois, the bittel, the nullification, but the bittel does not work, is invalid, and it's osa. And on these two stages of the braisa, number one, sofik is osa. Number two, afilu be'elef loy bottle, need to be understood. Says the Gemara, bishlei mele Rabba, according to Rabba, who says beitza shenol da biyomtiv is osa because of hachona, and then we're talking about that the day before it was a Shabbos, and then it's nisa deiraisa to use this egg on yomtiv, mishum, then have a sveika deiraisa. Then it must be the braisa, which says that echod beitza shenol da b'shabbos, echod beitza shenol da biyomtiv, must be talking about Shabbos after yomtiv, or yomtiv after Shabbos, and then it's nisa deiraisa. And we know that whenever there's a sofik in the chiyuv deraisa, you have to be machmir v'chol sveika deraisa l'chumra. Elo l'Rav Yosef v'l'Rav Yitzchok. According to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchok, the Omri Mishum Gzeira, who said that the only reason Beit Hashanel to be yomtiv is osur, is because, and here we're talking about, we're assuming that this is coming from a hen which was not mukta. Then we assume that that the hen itself is not mukta, but the egg is not allowed to be eaten because of a gzeira, then that gzeira is only drabonon. Sveika drabonon he. It's only a drabonon. Even when you know that it was definitely laid on Yom Tov, it's only awesome drabonon. When you have a doubt, it's a suffix drabonon. V'chol sveika drabonon lukula. So according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchok, how are they going to learn this braisa? Answers the Gemara, Omalei seifa oson lesofik treifa. The statement, the part of the braisa that says a sofik is osa, is not talking about when it was laid on Yom Tov and you have a sofik. Was it laid on Yom Tov? Was it not laid on Yom Tov? No. We're talking about just any time. In the middle of the year, a regular day, and there's a sofik, was this egg laid by a treifa animal or a not treifa animal? And treifa is an issa deraisa. And therefore, the suffix is asr. Says the Gemara, ihacha, if so, ema sefer, let's go to the very last stage of this braisa, that says that afilu be'elef loy bottle. Let's try and work that out. This arvo be'elef kulon asuris. I omris bishleima suffix yomtev suffix choyl. If you say that the statement before it, that when there's a suffix, then it's asr, is talking about that the suffix was the egg laid on Yom Tov? Was it laid on Erev Yom Tov on a weekday? Then I can understand if that egg gets mixed in to all the other eggs, have a dover sheyesh le'matirin. We know there's a rule that anything that the issa on it is just temporary, and with time the issa is going to go away from it. It's called a dover sheyesh le'matirin. And then the Chachamim say, why resort to bittel? Just wait, and then you can eat it without bittel. Any issa that's going to have a heta soon, afilu be'elef, even when it's mixed into 1,000 times its own volume of heta, loy botil, does not get nullified there. That's if the Braisa, if the Sofik of the Braisa is talking about a Sofik, whether it was on Yom Tov or not on Yom Tov. That's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, because after Yom Tov, then the egg is always going to be Mutter. But the problem with that is that it's only Osir Midrabbanon. Like we said before, according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, it's only Osir Midrabbanon, the Issa of Beit Tosh and El Dabi Yom Tov. And then if it's only Osir Midrabbanon, why is Sfeikai Osir? That's a question which is a complicated question. And we're going to have to answer that. The Gemara is soon going to answer that on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. But if we say that the Sofik, the reason that it's Osa is because it's a Sofik Treifa, then by Sofik Treifa, Elu Yomra Sofik Treifa, then Dovo She'en Le Matirin Hi. The Issa of Treifa never leaves the item that was Treif. And therefore, V'tibotil. Baruba, why don't you say the regular rules of Bittel Baroiv apply, that if you have a majority of Heter, they nullify the Issa from the minority. And if this egg, which was a Sofik Issa, then falls into 1,000 eggs, why does the Braisa say that it's not bottle? V'chi Tema, are you going to suggest that the reason that the Bittel doesn't work is because Beitzo Chashuva V'loi Botla, that anything which is important, anything that is significant, is we do not nullify. Something insignificant gets nullified in a majority when there's many more its volume, then it can get nullified. But something that's significant never gets nullified, never becomes seen as if it's bottle. So are you going to say that an egg is a significant object, is a significant item, and therefore v'loy bottle? So even though we said before that we're talking about an egg which is a Sofik Treifa, Sofik not Treifa, and therefore as far as Dovah Sheyesh Lo Matirin is concerned, Bittel should work, but as far as Dovah Choshuv is concerned, the Dovah Choshuv is not Bittel. Says the Gemara, okay, but let's try and understand this, that how Choshuv, that means what determines whether it is Choshuv enough, it's significant enough not to be Bittel. So there's going to be three levels of that. Some say anything that is sold by the number is already called choshev. The very fact that I'm numbering it during the sale makes it significant enough that it would not be bottle. Others say, as long as many people sell it by the number, that's what makes it significant. Others say it's got to be that everybody sells it with the number in order for it to be significant. Now, eggs are not the least level, but they're not the highest level either. It's most people sell it by the number, not everybody. So now the Gemara is going to discuss. According to the one that says that as long as most people sell it by the number, then it's considered significant enough, and it's not bottle, then I can understand why the egg is not bottle, even be'elef. El olamando omar es shedar kelim lishaninu, according to the opinion that says that it's only considered important enough that it will not be nullified if everybody sells it with the number. Ma'ikel emeimar, eggs, not everyone sells it with a number. So when it says in the last state clause of this brisa that an egg which falls into 1,000 eggs which are okay and mutter to be eaten, is nonetheless it stays osir, what would be the reason for that? So according to what we said before, if we were talking about that the Sofik is a Sofik whether it was laid on Yom Tov or not laid on Yom Tov, then I can understand it's a Dovah Sheyesh Lo Matirin and therefore it's not bottle even be'elef. But if you say that it's a Sofik Treifa, then it should become bottle unless it's a Dovah Shebeminyan, something that is sold by the number. Is it a Dovah Shebeminyan? It depends according to which opinion. According to the opinion that only something that's always sold by number is that significant that it's not bottle, an egg definitely wouldn't fit that bill. And then we have a question, why is it not bottle? Ditnan, where do we see an argument as to how many people have to sell this item with a number, with a minion, to make it important enough, significant enough, that it's not bottle? In the following Mishnah, Ditnan, Mi shehoyu lo chavilei tilson shel klei hakerem. If somebody has bundles of tilson that are klei hakerem, we know that certain things that grow in a vineyard become kilayim, called klei hakerem, and they have to be burnt. Yidloikus, if somebody's got bundles of tilson which are klei hakerem, then yidloiku, they have to be burnt. Nisarvu ba'achiris, if these bundles got mixed into other bundles that were not kliya kerem, va'achiris ba'achiris, and those bundles got mixed into even other bundles, that means it's got mixed in a whole bunch of times. There's so many more bundles now than that are mutter, than those bundles that were osa. Kulon yidloiku, all of them have to be burnt. Divir Reb Meir. Reb Meir says there's no bittel. A bundle of tilson does not become nullified. Chachomim oimrim, the chachomim say no, bittel does apply. Yalu means yalu ba'achas u'mosayim. It's exactly what the word yalu means. Rashi says here, bittel works, and what you have to do is that if you have 200 times or 201 times heter over the issa, then you take one volume of the issa, you separate it, and that you have to burn, and all the rest is mutter. Those are the rules of bittel by Klei HaKerem. So Reb Meir says there's no bittel, the Chachomim says there is bittel. And now the Bryce is going to explain, the Mishnah is going to explain, Shehoya Reb Meir Oimir. Reb Meir explains, why is there no bittel? Because he says, Es Shedar Kolimnoi, since it was common practice to sell these bundles with number, by the number, not by an overall weight or estimation, but by an individuality of each one, then Es Shedar Kolimnoi is Mekadish. Mekadish means it's been set aside, it means it's osa. Mekadesh is also used for holiness, which is also a certain separation, elevation from the mundane, and it's also Kadesh, or something which is separated for to be burnt. So that's what Reb Meir says. Reb Meir says that it's a Dovah Shebaminyan, it's Choshuv. The Chachomim say that Bittel does apply. Why? Eina Mekadesh Elo Shisha Dvorim. There's only six things which are significant enough that they prevented them from becoming nullified, from becoming bottle. Elo Shisha Dvorim Bilvad. Rabbi Kiva Ima Sheva, Rabbi Kiva adds a seventh one. Ve'eluin, what are the six? Egoize Perach. Egoizim are nuts that come from a place called Perach, which is a type of a tree. Ve'rimoine Badon, and the pomegranates from Badon. Ve'chovye Stumois. V'chilfei tardin, v'kilchei kruv, v'delas yavonis. Those are the six things that are very significant, and therefore would not be, if were they to be osir, we'll soon see which is surim, because some of these are trees, some are not. Trees have an issa of orla. Those that are not trees, they can have the issa of klei hakerem, if they were grown in a vineyard. Whichever way it is, when they become osir, they do not become bottle. Bekiva moisif av kikris shel balabayis. Bekiva says also the loaves of bread that are baked by private people are also significant enough that they do not become bottle if there would be an issue with it. And haroyu la'orla, orla, those things on the list which are trees, they are subject to this of orla, and if they are orla and then they get mixed into many others, they do not get nullified. Haroyu l'klei hakerem, and those things that are not orla, because they're not trees, they could become also with klei hakerem. When they become also with klei hakerem, they will then not become bottle. L'klei hakerem is klei hakerem. So this is what we saw in the Mishnah. Now we'll notice that Reb Meir who said there's no bittel, why is there no bittel? Es shedar koilimnois. It was actually machlekus now in the Chachomim, exactly what these words actually said or meant. Es shedar koilimnois. V'itmar we learnt, that itmar alop, regarding this Mishnah, we learnt that Rabbi Yechanan Omar es shedar koilimnois sheninu. Rabbi Yechanan said, what does it mean? What did Reb Meir mean, es shedar koilimnois? He said that the reason that it's that these chavile tilton are not bottle is because everybody sells them by the number, not just a lot of people, everybody. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, kol shedar koilimnois sheninu. Any time where the majority of people sell it with a number, it's sufficient enough to be make it significant enough that it doesn't become bottle. So you see clearly, there's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether the significance that you need to prevent the nullification, is it es shedar koilimnois or kol shedar koilimnois? So honichal Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kunt Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish that says kol shedar koilimnois, as long as there's many people who count it, it's enough to make it significant, then I can understand you coming back to the eggs that it's that were noilad on Shabbos or Yom Tov, or if it's a Sofik, it was noilad Shabbos and Yom Tov, then since these eggs are osa, for whatever reason we said, that means the Sofik is osa, either because it's Sofik Achonah is Deraisa, or Sofik Treifa is Deraisa, and we'll soon see some more explanations, then once it's osa, it's not bottle, because eggs are often and usually sold with a number. Elo Rabbi Yechonon, according to Rabbi Yechonon, who says that the reason Rabbi Meir says that these bundles of tilson are not bottles is because everybody sells them by the number. Eggs, not everyone sells it with the number. If so, eggs are not called a davar shebeminyan. If they're not called a davar shebeminyan, then they should be bottle. So why does the Braisa say that? Afilu be'elef loy bottle. Ma'ikel ha'meimar, what can we say? Answers the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Hai Tana, Tana de litrok tziyaisu. There's a Tana which we're about to see, which is a Tana in, we're going to see soon exactly who this Tana is, but it's a Tana regarding the concept of a litro, which is a weight, of ktziyais, which is part of the pressed figs. But these ktziyais, there's going to be one opinion that says, Huda Omar, kol dovar shebeminyan. Anything which gets counted, it doesn't matter. A lot of people, a few people, everybody makes no difference. Afilu b'drabonon loy bottle, even when it's an issa drabonon, it doesn't become bottle. And therefore, according to that opinion, the braisa makes a lot of sense. This egg, definitely some people sell eggs by the number, and therefore it's called choshev, and therefore it's not bottle, even if the issa is an issa drabonon. We have a problem with the issa d'rabbanon, and that is why is the sofik osur at all. But as far as we'll have to work on that. But as far as the bittel is concerned, davar shebeminyan is loy bottle. The kolshkin b'deraisa and kolshkin in the case where which we're talking about, where the sofik is a sofik treifa, sofik not treifa, which is the stage we're up to now, that the part of sofik is sofik treif, sofik not treif, which is an issa d'rabbanon. There even more so, it's not bottle if it's got any level of davar shebeminyan. Ditnan, and this is, it's a question, how much of this is a mishnah, how much of this is a braisa, but we learned as follows. Litro ktsiois. Litro is a certain weight of ktsiois, which are pressed, which are these figs, and the way they would do it is that these ktsiois, first of all, are a fruit, and fruits, most fruits, the chiyuv of trumas and maestros is only midrabbonon. So we're talking here about chiyuv derabbonon of trumas and maestros. Shedorosa, what they used to do is they used to press it into a mold or into some shaped utensil, and they would press it there, they would dry up together into a pressed cake of whatever they was getting pressed here. So these ktsiois that were shadorosa that were pressed al pi ogul in the mouth of a mold, so you had a whole bunch of molds and you don't know which one of these molds you pressed these figs, and these figs were actually a truma derabonon. And what happened was he's pressed these figs into the mouth of one of these molds, and you don't know which one it was. So now you've got the top layer of the figs in one of these molds that are truma d'rabbanon. And what do we do now? We don't know which one it is. Do we have to assume all of them to have the status of truma, or do we use some level of bittel? Veinu debe is egel dorsa, or al pi chovis, he pressed these figs into the mouth of a cask. So he doesn't know which cask. Or al pi kaveres, or he pressed them into the mouth of a basket, the top of the basket. So he doesn't know in which basket he pressed these figs. So Reb Meir Oimel is going to be machloikas now between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda as to what is the machloikas Reb Elezer and Reb Yeshua. Reb Meir says that the following is the machloikas. Reb Meir Oimel, that Reb Elezer Oimel, Reb Elezer says, Royin eso elyoinois kiilu hein prudois, vatachtoinois mailois eso elyoinois. Reb Eliezer maintains that even though we know that the questionable figs, the figs that we're discussing, that our truma d'rabbanon were pressed on the top of this utensil, whether it's the mold, whether it's the cask, or whether it's the basket, nonetheless, we use the concept of bittel. But not only do we say that, because for truma d'rabbanon to be bottle, it's bottle in 101 times its volume. So we don't. Not only do we say this bittel, that if there's 101 casks or 101 molds that are certainly not truma, and on one of them we know the top is truma, then it's all bottle. That definitely would be bittel. But Rabbi Eliezer says even more than that. He says that even if you don't have 101 casks, but you have the volume of the top of these figs, that means these figs that were pressed at the top of this utensil, that if the volume of that, you have 101 times more that volume, which is certainly not truma, any place within these casks or within these baskets or within these molds, even though the top, even though we pressed it at the top, and we know for certain that the figs at the bottom are definitely not in the equation, they're definitely not in this tarovus, this mixture, because the only thing which we don't know is the top, which of these casks, the top of it is truma. Nonetheless, since it's only derabonon, it's truma derabonon, Rabbi Eliezer says you can include in the nullification even the figs at the bottom of all the baskets. And therefore, if you have 101 times the volume of these truma figs, then it's all bottle, and you can assume them all not to be truma. So that's what it means here. Royen, we imagine that so elyoinos kilo in prudos. It's as if we've separated those figs, the top from the bottom. Vatachtoinos mailos el elyoinos. And the figs at the bottom of all the existing baskets are all included in the volume that can nullify, if there's 101 times more, the figs that were truma. Rabbi Shua says, no, we don't go that far. We can only take into account the tops of the barrels, the tops of these casks or the molds or the baskets, because we know that the questionable figs were at the top. So therefore, the figs at the bottom don't come into the equation at all. If you have 101 molds that are certainly not truma, and one mold that has truma in it, only then it's bottle. Im yesha mea pumin, if you have 100 times that volume, that means it's bottle in 101, which means if you have 100 times the mouths, that means 100 casks or 100 molds or 100 baskets that are not truma, then yalu, then they can help the nullification and it becomes bottle. Vimlav, then hapumin asur. And if you haven't got 100 times the tops, the 100 mouths more of the chulin than of this truma drabonon, then the bittle is not bittle, and all the casks, the tops of all the casks, we have to assume them to be truma drabonon. Vashulaim, but according to Rabbi Yeshua, all the figs at the bottom of the casks, they are all not in the equation, because we know that the truma wasn't put at the bottom, it was pushed into the top. That was how Rabbi Meir explained it. Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, that what we said before from Rabbi Yeshua was really Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, im yesham mea pumen, if you have 100 mouths of these molds, casks, or baskets that are chulin, yalu, then they are mevatel, the one which is truma drabonon. Ve'im lav, hapumin asurin. And if not, then all the mouths, all the figs in all the mouths are assumed to be truma drabonon and are also, that means you have to eat them with according to the halachas of truma drabonon. Vashulaim, and all the figs that are at the bottom are mutarim, they're all mutar. Rabbi Yeshua Oimir, and this is the opinion that we're talking about. When we mentioned before the Tana de Litra Ktiois that says that Kol Dovah Shebeminyan, Afilub Drabonon Loi Botel, this is where it is. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua Oimir, Afilu Yesham Shloish Meis Pumin, even if you have 300 casks that the tops of them are all chulin, and just one of them mixed into them, which the tops of them are truma derabonon, lo yalu, it will not become nullified, and all of them are going to have to be assumed to possibly be the one with the truma. Dorsa be'igul, and the Braisa continues, and it's very challenging. The Gemara is going to discuss in a minute what this means. Dorsa, if you pressed it, be'igul, into one of these molds, ve'enedea be'iza ogul, and you don't know in which mold you pressed it, be'iza ogul dorsa, divrei hakel yodu, then everybody agrees that it's bottle. The Gemara is asking, I don't understand. Divrei hakel, hainu pluktainu. You just had a whole big machlekas here when you press the figs into the mouth of one of these molds and you don't know which mold it was. So how are you ending off saying that if you pressed it into a mold and you don't know which one it was, everyone says it's bottle? What's that supposed to mean? Omer of Papa, Rav Papa says, this is how you have to understand the last statement of that braisa. Hochi koma, dorso be'igul, ve'en yedem be'eze mokoim, Igul dorsa ilitzvoyno litroimo. Till now we were talking about where you know that the whole top, the whole mouth of the mold has that truma tumeo in it, has the truma derabonon in it. It's truma derabonon. Then it's very clear where it was, at least in this barrel, in this cask, in this mold. But if you don't even know which side it was, that means it's not even clearly defined. You don't have a clearly defined knowledge where within the mold you put these truma figs. Then that means you don't know ile tsfoino, ile droimo, the north side, the south side, divrei hakol yalu. Then everybody says that it is bottle. So if you know where in the top of this mold you press those figs, you just don't know which mold it was, then it's called a dovah shebeminyan, because the tops are sold on their own, so to speak. They're an entity of their own, and it's a dovah shebeminyan. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua said, even in 300 it's not bottle, because it's a dovah shebeminyan, it's ain't a bottle. However, if even within the mouth of this mold you don't know where it is, then you can't say it's called a dovah shebeminyan, because it's not something discernible. It's just on one side, you don't know, you can't recognize which side it is, what side it was, you don't know what's going on, and therefore it's not considered a dovah shebeminyan, and therefore it's bottle. But what do we see from here? According to Yeshua, that kol dovah shebeminyan afilu b'drabonon lo bottle, it's talking about truma drabonon, the kol shekein deraisa, and even more so when it comes to sofik treifa. So when we're dealing with the sefer of that brisa that we started with on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that says afilu be'elef loy bottle, we said that if it's talking about a sofik, sofik, not yomtov, it's a dovah sheyesh lematir, and that's why it's not bottle. And if we're talking about sofik treifa, then it's not bottle because it's a dovah shebeminyan. Either dovah shebeminyan, according to the opinion we just saw now, that any level of dovah shebeminyan is loy bottle, or according to the opinion that said that we saw before, according to Resh Lakish, that if most people sell it with a minion, it's also considered a davar b'sheb minion, and therefore loy bottle. Now coming, says the Gemara, and now we're coming back to the middle stage of the brisa that says that a sofik, if you have a sofik, then it's osa. We weren't sure why should it be osa. We said according to Rabba that it's sofik hachona de Rabba, which is an issa deraisa. We understand sofik deraisa lechumra. If you say sofik treifa, sofik not treifa, we can understand sofik deraisa lechumra. We said that if it's a sofik, whether it was on Yom Tov or not on Yom Tov, then that we said was only an issa derabonon. It's only a gzera derabonon. That a beitza shenolda b'Yom Tov is issa derabonon. So sofik derabonon should be lekula. Says Rav Ashi, no. Rav Ashi omar la'olam sofik Yom Tov sofik chol. We're going back to what we said originally. It's not about hachona derabba. It's not about a Yom Tov after Shabbos, and therefore, if we don't know whether it was Noilad on that day, but if it was Noilad on that day, it was Nisa Deraisa, then we have to be Machmer, Sofik Deraisa Luchumra. No, it could be Sofik Yom Tov, Sofik Choyl, and it's Hava Dovah Sheshli Matirin, and V'chol Dovah Sheshli Matirin, Afilu B'drabon on Loi Bottle. It could be that it's talking about that the Issa here is not it's an Issa of, and indeed it's an Issa Drabonon. It's not like a chona derab, which is an issa deraisa. It's only an issa derabonon, whether it's because of peiros shenoyishrim or because of mashkin shezovim. But it's only a midrabonon, and since it's only midrabonon, but even if it's midrabonon, but since it's only osar today, it's not osar. It's not going to be osar tomorrow. Not like a sofik beitza, which comes from a treifa, which is always going to be osar. No. Since it's going to become muta, dovah sheyesh lematirin is never bottle, and that's why sfeika is osur. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.